This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. We've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this week, beginning with Unit 99. We'll hear woman threatening with a gun from September 6th, 1957. After that, it's the lineup and the Molly About Seven case. That story aired February 27th, 1951.
KMA-907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA-907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
We have provided Unit 99 of the Sacramento Police Department the tape recorder it carries and the officer in charge, Sergeant Meredith, so that you, who depend on your police for protection, can hear them in action, on duty. And what you hear on this radio program is real. No question about it. The suspects are real. The victims are real. Bear this in mind as you hear these cases. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 3. 214 L. Lincoln. A man threatening a woman with a gun. Code 2. Check 3 came in on 7.
Unit 3 is going to check out a man with a gun on Lower L Street. Let's go along.
The unit's here. Evidently inside. Let's go in.
They're in the back.
Hello, Peyton. He just told the lady.
He told me that I come in, you know, and when I come in, she was all nervous and shaking, you know. I says, what's the matter with her? She said she was sitting down there. And this guy come in. When he was sitting down here, he showed a gun. He says, don't get nervous. Just relax. See, little one? And he says, because I show you something, he got a gun. So she just stood there. She didn't know how to use a telephone, so... So when I come back here, she told me about it.
What did he tell you? That he was looking for a woman and a man who had robbed him of his money? How old was the man?
He asked me my age. He was 100 years old.
He asked you your age?
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't be nervous. He didn't threaten you at all.
When he came in, I stand up and he said, sit down, relax.
Did he buy anything?
No. He said, I'm looking for a woman, robbed my money. But he said, no, be nervous. He said, I show you. He got a gun here.
Now, what does he look like?
A skinny man. A skinny. Got a khaki shirt.
Khaki shirt.
And jean pants.
Jean pants.
And
hat.
Got a cap.
A cap.
A cap, something like that, a peak on it.
Peak on it.
Yeah.
And how old did you say he was?
Maybe 35.
Mexican boy?
No, he's American.
Okay, we'll go take a look and see if we can find him.
Stop the car, Dan. Let's take a look at that guy. Khaki shirt, black jeans, the old cap, skinny, and a white man.
Where is he?
Right there, just going in the Gold Nugget.
Well, let's go in there. There he is. Guthrie's got him. This man?
This is a man. He has a gun in his belt.
Yeah.
Looks like an old-style Frontier model.
Loaded? Is it loaded?
Yes, it's loaded. Side loading. Real holder.
See it, Bruce. What are you doing with this loaded gun on you?
I didn't feel like leaving it in my car, officer.
Leaving in your car?
That's right.
You're looking for some woman, aren't you?
Well, I was looking around to see what woman was at.
Just broke it open, fully loaded. Do you have a permit to carry this gun?
No, I haven't.
So why are you carrying it?
Like I stated, I don't feel like leaving it in the car. My car is out here on one of the streets.
That's not a very good excuse.
Want the other one?
No, we'll keep this as evidence.
All right, let's go.
We're going to take this fellow in and have the victims, the people he approached, come in and identify him. You want to tell us anything more about this gun?
I don't want to leave it. Didn't want to leave it in my car. My car has been sitting on the street since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I went to a show. The gun was sitting in the car at the time.
Yeah?
After it got dark, I got kind of leery about leaving it in there because windows can be broke. Sure, I can lock the car. The fact is, it's locked right now.
Well, don't you think it'd be a lot better to keep it in your car than have it on your person like you did tonight and picked up with it on you?
Well, I'll admit I was taking a chance of getting myself in trouble by carrying it, yes.
Didn't you go into a bar down here in 2nd and 3rd on L Street and confront some barmaid down there? That's right, over here, south of the border. Now, tell us your story.
Was it an elderly woman?
That's right.
Or a young one?
Elderly Mexican woman.
All right. At that place there, yes, I admit going in there. I was in one other one and I asked about a woman.
Now, why did you want a woman?
I'm trying to find out what the woman is doing right now.
What woman?
I don't know what her last name is. All I know is her first name. She was living with a fella out here on the old Marysville Road. He treated her sort of like a slave, in other words. Every time that she gets a few drinks or something goes wrong, he brings her around to town here and dumps her. Lets her shift for herself. He's supposed to be a body and fender man.
Well, I see.
And,
are you looking for him tonight?
Not in particular. I was trying to find her. I'm trying to get her off the places here in town. She's a heavy drinker.
Now, did you think that you'd need a gun tonight to get her off these streets?
Not her, no. I wasn't that.
Who were you after?
I'm going to tell you now, and I'll tell anybody, I don't care who it is. The man that has been treating this woman like he has been treating her. He has beat me out of money, beat everybody that he knows out of money. He's a guy that the DA right now doesn't have too much use for.
So you were looking for him with this gun?
He has a gun, too.
Is that the reason why you were carrying this?
No, that's not the reason I was carrying it. The reason I was carrying that was, like I told you, to keep it from being sitting in my car.
Well, I guess
this looks bad for me. It is bad for me. Puts me in a bad spot. I've got a chance of going up the river for a while. I know that.
What kind of a record do you have?
I'm a one-time loser.
For what?
McNeil Island.
Federal offense?
From the territory of Alaska.
What was the charge?
Illegal entry into a dwelling. Anchorage, Alaska.
So that makes you an ex-con with a gun, don't it?
That's right, sir. I know what I'm facing right now.
All right. Do you want to tell us anything further about the purpose of carrying this gun? Other than what you've told us already, I don't think you're actually telling us the truth. Do you want to stick to your story?
The only thing else was that if this other guy had been around and given me a bad time and drawn a gun on me, I'd have shot him.
You would have killed him?
Not actually killed him, I'd have shot him.
Well, that's...
Because he's made the boast. Then anybody cross him and he's going to kill him.
So you're more or less going to take advantage of the situation. If you see him first, you're going to shoot him. Is that right?
Not unless he draws on me.
You see, is that your car?
That's right.
You the legal and the registered owner?
I have the pink on it, but the man, I still owe him money on it.
I want to check through it, Bruce, see if there's anything else in there.
Yeah, good idea, Dad. Looks like you found the holster, Dan.
Yeah, I found the holster and the belt on the front seat there.
You certainly know better than to carry a gun on your person the next time.
That's right, Sergeant. We'll know better. That's why I have no complaints.
Going out looking for a guy with a gun is a good way of getting into trouble.
Oh, no squawks at all.
Anything else, Dan?
Do you have another car?
No. Not at the present time. There's a set of license plates in there for a 51 Ford that's in North Hollywood, California.
That's right. It's registered to you.
I haven't sent the plates or title back to the people that has the car in their possession at the present time.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, it was kind of a shady deal that they got the car to begin with.
They still have possession of the car?
They have possession of it, yes.
Who has the pink slip?
The pink slip is right there with the plates.
I see in the back seat, too, the tools back there look like burglar tools. What kind of work do you
burglar
do?
Tools.
That's right. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
What kind of a mechanic?
Automotive and diesel.
What kind of tools are those in the back of the car?
In the trunk?
In the back, on the floor, in the back seat.
In the back seat, those mostly tire tools.
Pair of pliers?
Pair of pliers, that's a pair of side cutters, I believe. Wire cutters.
Sounds like this man could be a pretty good burglar, too.
Could somebody tell him he'll find a movement of a watch laying on the front seat there in a cigarette case with some other odds and ends of watch parts?
What are they there for?
I bought the watch today. The other parts I've had for quite some time.
Who'd you buy the watch from?
Down here on K Street, this money to loan.
You said there's watch works laying in there.
Yeah, there's a watch movement. Waltham watch movement.
And that's all you bought was just the movement?
That's what I bought today. The other stuff I've had for quite some time.
Isn't it a little unusual to buy a watch movement in one of these pawn shops?
Not for me. Fact is, in my right shirt pocket, I have a 7-jewel watch that I bought from there. Down here in my watch pocket, I have a Hampton pocket watch.
Both well, that part of it is fine. I can understand you're buying a whole watch, but not just the movement.
It's a hobby of mine, working on watches.
Well, those watches will have to be checked out by the detectives as far as numbers are concerned. I think, as you said a while ago, Dan, it'd be a good idea to turn him over to the Detective Bureau and let them check into it further.
What's the charge there, Bruce, that is on the book against this guy?
Well, we booked the man, ex-con, with a gun, which is specifically 12025 of the Penal Code, Deadly Weapons Act. We have already booked him. He's been placed in the cell. We booked the gun as evidence, the holster that you found in the car. The bullets and the gun have been marked so that it can be identified in court. Two watches that he had on his person were also booked as evidence. Now we're going to take this information down and give it to the Detective Bureau, and they'll follow through from there. I imagine that they'll go down and search that car more thoroughly than you had time to do.
Yeah.
And also check up on this man's record and check into those possible burglar tools.
The Good Samaritan with a gun told an odd and unbelievable story, but the outstanding feature was that he was an ex-convict in possession of a gun. Investigation revealed nothing criminal in connection with the watches or tools, and he was sentenced to 6 months in the county jail on the gun charge.
Well, there's a traffic unit ahead about a half a block. We're stopped at a red light right now. As Officer Bender and McAdams, they have somebody out in the street there. Let's check with them, see what it is. Hello, Mac. What do you have here?
Danny, we just got a call of an accident down here with a possible 502 in it. And we have the man here.
Oh, right in front there?
Yeah, in this nice blue car, see? And well, what he's done, he's hit these two cars parked over here. He's hit one and knocked it up onto the curbing and slammed it up into another one.
Oh, is that meter box knocked over too?
Yeah, and just knocked that right down. That's... and not too much damage over there. Considerable to the second car, not very much to the first car. Then what he did, he drove over here. I guess it's about 130 feet and where his motor died. Otherwise, I suppose he'd have just kept right on going.
Did you see this?
No, we have witnesses, though. That, we have their names, and they've given them to
us.
Did
they stop you on it?
Yeah.
I see. Anybody hurt?
No, he's... Like most of them, they're not hurting me.
I see.
Yeah, I think he's... I think he might go go 502 on this. Would you mind taking him in for
us? No, I'd be glad to. We'll beat you in the station there. If you... Just as soon as you get through your reporting here, well, I'll check with you in there.
Yeah, about 5 or 10 minutes,
okay. Danny. What's this going to look like now? What are the charges going to be?
Well, I'd say it's a definite hit and run, 483 the vehicle code, and from the way he looks to me right now, I'd say drunk driving, 502.
Well, get in here. Yeah. Atta boy, right in the back seat. That's it, sure. Yep, better get your feet in there. That's it. Okay.
Before I get done, I'm going to cause you some trouble, see?
Well, we haven't done anything to you.
That's all right. I'm not mad at you.
That's a boy.
You know I'm going to get and cause you trouble? I'm going to get Bart Cavanaugh. I'm going to cause you some trouble, see?
Well...
I live here in Sacramento, see?
Yes, that's true.
I'm going to get Bart Cavanaugh, and he's a good friend of mine, and I'm going to get, you have taken my car in, and you have taken me in here, you know what I mean? And I am going to cause you some trouble before I'm over.
Well, why do you want to cause us trouble?
Why? Yeah. Why would I cause you trouble? Mm-hmm. Because I think you're wrong, see?
Why do you think we're wrong?
Well, that's all right. You're going to take me in tonight. That's all right. Before I get done tomorrow with you, I'm going to get Bart Cavanaugh, and I'm going to cause you some trouble, see?
Well, that's your privilege.
Well, that's my privilege.
That,
that's right.
If you want to do that,
that's
go
right.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean?
All right.
Tonight don't mean nothing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You're going to take me in tonight and as a police character. And this thing. But when I get done with you tomorrow, I'm going to find out who you are. I'm going to find out what you did to me. And I'm going to get Bart Cavanaugh. And he's a good friend of mine. And...
Well, what did I do to you?
You didn't do nothing to me. You didn't do nothing to me. You'll find out before you get done tomorrow night. Just because you took me in tonight. You just wait till I get all done tomorrow.
Okay.
That's all right.
You warm enough back there?
Yeah, sure. I'm fine. You know, this man's got my automobile, and I haven't got my automobile, you know what I mean?
Well, they're taking care of it for
you.
That's
right, that's right. I'm going to find out what happened to my automobile, you know?
Well, you struck that parked car back
that's
there.
Right, that's right, that's right.
You remember doing that?
No, I'm not mad at nobody.
You remember hitting the parked car
well,
back
there? Sure.
How much drinking did you do tonight? About?
Well, I did pretty good drinking.
How many did you have about?
Well, probably 15, 20 drinks.
I see.
I'm not mad at nobody.
Whiskey or beer?
Well, I've been drinking whiskey all night.
Well, here we are. This emergency hospital.
I say, I'm not mad at nobody. But, you know.
Here we are.
Possible 5. Possible 502.
Okay. I'll be here.
Okay.
Very possible.
Have you been to a dentist or a doctor today?
No.
Do you have diabetes?
No.
Have you taken any medicine today?
No.
Have you been drinking?
I think I had a few drinks, yeah.
What were you drinking?
Well, I think I've been drinking 4 or 5, what do you call it?
Highballs?
Highballs.
Whiskey?
Yeah, whiskey.
You had 4 or 5 drinks of whiskey?
4 or 5 drinks of whiskey.
I thought you told me you had 10 or 15 drinks.
Oh, maybe I did.
Did I see?
Maybe I did have 10 or 15 drinks.
Well, which would you rather say?
I said I had 10 or 15 drinks of whiskey.
10 or 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the...
When and when was that? What period?
Tonight.
Starting when?
8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm. Until when?
8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
Until when? When did you have your last drink?
About 8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
When did you start drinking then?
About 8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, when did you stop drinking then?
8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
You had some quick ones then?
Yeah.
Do you have any physical disabilities?
Not that I know of.
You haven't had a drink since 9 o'clock?
Yes, I have.
Well, then when did you have your last drink, would you say?
About 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, we'd like you to get up and perform for us a little bit. Do you want to walk across the room there?
Yeah, I will.
Now, this way.
Now, walk around the bed. Okay, that's fine. All right, now just stand up straight there, please. And face me. Now put your feet together. Toes together, too.
Cool. Can I put my toes together that way?
That's fine. Okay. Now close your eyes. Close them tight. Close your eyes.
Okay,
that's fine. All right, now pick up, open your eyes. Pick up your right foot and stand on your left foot.
My right foot?
Pick up your right foot and stand on your left foot.
Well, I probably am a little done.
Well, see it. Let's see you try. Pick up your right foot and stand on your left foot.
My right foot. That's the foot.
All right. Well, do it one way, then do it the other way.
I still say I'm low drunk.
Well, no, I want you to try to do this now.
Well, I'm low drunk. I know that.
Pick up your foot.
I'm low drunk.
Okay. You can sit down.
Okay.
Did you tell the doctor you were not in an accident tonight?
No.
You weren't?
No. Was I?
Yes, you were.
Was I?
Yes.
Where?
On L Street, between 11th and 12th. You struck a parked car. Didn't you know that?
No, I don't know that. I said, I don't want to hurt nobody, and I don't want to hurt nobody.
That's right. But you didn't hurt anybody. You just struck a parked car. Right. What does your report show on that possible 502?
Well, my conclusions were that the man was obviously under the influence of alcohol and should not be driving.
I doubt that there is a police officer who has not, at some time, been threatened with trouble or loss of his badge for doing his duty. In modern departments, of course, such threats are ridiculous and the men are fully aware of it. In this case, the self-styled personal friend of the city manager paid a drunk driving fine of $263 and $105 for hit-run driving.
This is Unit 99, presented in cooperation with station KFBK in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 is a presentation of the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment we'll take you behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup. One of the best fighting generals of your United States Army said in an interview recently, "There is a common belief that all that is necessary to prepare a man for fighting in the Army is certain basic training. That is not true anymore. A modern Army has become a very complex organization with extremely complicated equipment, and very specialized training is necessary to prepare men to use it. To absorb this specialized training, the Army needs men with high mentality as well as excellent physical condition." Let's give that a moment's thought. What are you doing about that kind of need in the Army? You young men between 18 and 34, can you qualify? It's a growing Army these days, and the men who can qualify, the men who go on to that special technical training after basic training, are learning valuable skills. They're the men this nation will always depend on in war or peace. Find out whether you can qualify. Go to your nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station tomorrow and volunteer.
Well, go down to the front, Mr. Polo.
Yeah, sure.
No, excuse me. Yeah, here's a couple.
Right here?
Yeah.
You got one of the men, huh?
I think so.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, over to this side of the stage, boys. Come on, keep it moving. Okay, now turn and face front. Look right out there to the audience. Hands to your sides. Now, I don't want to tell you more than once, boys. Talk up so everybody can hear you. It's a long way to the back of... Hey, you. You with a cigarette.
Me?
Where'd you get the cigarette?
I got it, so what?
Quine.
I don't know. Where'd you get it, King?
What do you want from me? Lousy cigarette? I'll throw it away.
Okay, throw it away.
Just a lousy cigarette.
I don't know where he got it, Matt.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Ain't they supposed to smoke, Lieutenant?
No, all right, number one. Raymond
put them in
Congdon,
the tank.
Disturbing
we're not
the
supposed
peace.
To have anything
take
on them.
Take your hands out of your pockets, Ray.
Okay.
Where do you live, Ray?
766 South Lock.
Where's that? What is it, a house, a hotel, or what?
A house.
I'll talk up, Ray.
Okay. A house!
The arresting officer said you were fighting.
That's right, I was fighting.
Well, who were you fighting with?
A guy. Guy in an alley. Yeah, he was doing a little fighting, too, you know.
Who was he?
He's standing right behind me. Him, I don't know his name. I never saw him before.
Number 7, James Link.
Well, he started the whole thing.
You're crazy. That's not the truth, Sergeant.
I'll get to you, James.
Okay, but the jerk's not telling...
Are you calling a jerk?
All right. Cut it out now. Move up against the wall, and you. You keep your face shut, James.
Okay.
All right, now, what's your business, Ray?
I'm a plumber, but I'm not working.
How'd the fight start?
Well, I was in a bar with a dame. A girl. This guy, he's got a foul mouth.
What?
I don't mind, but the dame, the girl don't like it. I can't blame her.
I got a foul mouth.
Yeah, you.
Fine.
Come on, break it up.
Over against the wall. Go on.
Okay.
Now you stay put. And you, James, you open your mouth again.
I'm sorry.
You see what I mean? This guy starts things like that.
Get him off, Quine. Get him off.
Come on, move.
Sure. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. These things don't happen very often.
Boy, they really went at it.
Yeah, okay, we get all kinds.
Number 2, Clyde Helms, robbery. Where are you from, Clyde?
Alabama.
Where in Alabama?
Morgan.
How long you been in town, Clyde?
About a week.
Where you been staying?
A hotel over on Lincoln Boulevard.
I know where that is. It's 214 Lincoln
Boulevard.
Yeah, Merrick.
No, sir. Yeah.
You have a car in the robbery?
Yeah, but it wasn't mine.
What kind?
Chrysler.
Sedan, a coupe, or what?
Four-door sedan. Wanted a smaller one, but it was the only one with the keys in.
Any weapons?
Yeah, 32 automatic.
Anybody arrested with you?
No.
Okay, number three, Dennis Haddock. Suspicion of murder.
You still here, Greb?
Yes, I'm still here. Just answer the questions, Haddock.
Lieutenant.
Is that the man?
I think so.
Where do you live?
Same place.
Where is it?
Carlton Towers, 85th and Carlton.
What's your business?
You kidding, Greb?
What's your business, Haddock?
I play the stock market.
That's him. I'm sure
any
that's him. He was the one
weapon?
With the gun.
Not a one.
Sergeant Graham.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Number three, hold for interrogation.
Here he is, Ben.
Oh. Sit down, Haddock.
Okay.
We want a statement, Haddock.
Swell. Who's going to give it to you?
You're going to give it to us.
I'll give you nothing.
We got an identification, Haddock. A man saw you do the job.
What job? I don't know what you're talking about.
Our witness identified you in the line.
Nuts.
We've already got his statement. He identified you as the killer.
Nuts.
He'll go on the stand and he'll point you out. First degree. You know what the sentence is.
I hate to disappoint you.
The witness was in the park. He saw you tailing Krug.
I told you, I wasn't tailing nobody.
You were picked up on the other side of the park.
So I was picked up on the other side of the park. I was walking. So what?
You kidding? Why, you killed Krug not 10 feet from the witness.
I didn't kill nobody. Now look,
the witness saw it. Saw your knife, Krug. Eyewitness.
I didn't kill nobody.
You put a knife in Leon Krug.
I don't get it. You really think you're going to beat this?
Look, if I didn't kill anybody, why shouldn't I beat
this? Who paid you to kill Krug?
How many times do I got to
tell you? Who wanted him knocked off, huh?
I'm getting a little tired of this, boys.
We know who you work for, Haddock. We know Krug was marked.
Oh, now, really?
We know the whole setup. Wedge's been around for a long time.
So you know it. What do you want me to do, congratulate you?
You work for Jack Stefano.
I work for nobody. You guys are really getting pretty dull.
Stefano's got orders out. Every guy who might give him trouble is supposed to be taken care of.
You've been reading too many books.
Krug was the first. If you think we're going to let a gang war bust...
I don't think anything. Except maybe you guys are a little rum-dum.
We want Stefano, Haddock.
Go get him.
And you're going to help us put him away.
Oh, now that's a real bright one, Guthrie. I'm going to put Stefano away.
Yeah, you're going to put him away.
Yeah.
Your knife, Krug.
Oh, now
you
listen,
Greg. You got paid for the job and Stefano paid
look,
you.
Look, fellas, please, will you... Forget it, huh? You're not going to get anywhere with me.
Listen,
Haddock. Don't you get rough with me, Grabber.
Take it easy, Matt. Wine.
Yeah, Ben.
Take him down.
Let's go, Haddock.
Sure.
We got you and we're going to get Stefano.
Okay.
With or without you, we're going to get him.
Swell. You ready, copper?
Who are you talking to, punk?
To you, copper. To you.
Get him out, Quine.
Sure.
Oh, brother. Talk about gall.
Yeah, he really thinks that organization... Hey.
It's okay, he tripped.
Look, Quine.
I mean it, he tripped, didn't you?
Yeah.
Get him downstairs.
Come on.
Okay, okay.
Oh, you hurt your ankle, huh?
Makes a difference?
I ask you a question.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it.
He tripped.
Sure.
Well, this whole thing is liable to get pretty serious.
Yeah, I know it.
Stefano's out to take over the syndicate. He's got a big organization now.
And more than one guy like Haddock.
And Haddock's no dummy. That's why he's going to be hard to crack. He's sure Stefano can spring him.
Can he, Ben?
Not as long as we got a witness. So let's put a couple of men on that witness just to play it safe, huh?
Yeah. You coming to dinner tonight?
Sure.
Molly said about 7. Don't let me forget. I got to stop and pick up a quart of ice cream. With Polo.
I put McCarthy and Waldron with him. Quine and Ash will take over in the morning.
Going down with me tomorrow?
Down where?
The Red Cross, I told you. Give him some blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll have to be in the afternoon around 2.
Fine. Oh, here's a market.
Yeah. Give me a pack of cigarettes, will you?
Right.
I'll see what's going on.
Okay, Al. Just be a minute.
All right, take your time.
87, 415 at the corner of Elm and Vista. 73 and 77, code 6.
Hi, mister.
Well, hello, son.
Are you a policeman?
That's right.
Where's your uniform?
Well, I don't wear one. I'm a detective.
I'm a cowboy.
You sure are. That's a pretty dandy outfit.
I'm a hoppy ranger.
Yeah? What's your name?
Jamie Martin Fisher. I got a gun. I could shoot you.
Now, you wouldn't want to shoot me.
Sure I would.
Oh! Ah, you got me.
You need some help, Lieutenant?
Oh, better put out a APB for a dangerous cowboy. I'm dying, Sergeant.
I'll shoot you, too.
If I give you a nickel, will you let me go, huh?
Sure. Gimme.
43. There you are.
Okay, I won't shoot you.
You see, you gotta know how to handle these situations. Come on, Lieutenant, I'd better get you to a hospital.
So long, Jamie.
Thanks for the nickel.
So long, cowboy.
He's a hoppy ranger.
You don't say.
Attention, all units.
Hey.
All units in area
Q. Here's something.
We're in that area.
993 West Orange. Ambulance on the way. All units in area Q.
That's just a couple of blocks. You gonna take it?
993 West Orange.
Yeah.
That's where Mr. Polo lives, our witness.
Let us through, please.
Up there, the second floor up there, somebody's hurt.
Now, who are you?
The landlord. It's my building. There's been a shooting.
Come on, man.
The second floor. Second.
Waldron.
Shotgun went up. I opened the door. Shotgun. I think McCarthy got it bad. Second floor. Go on.
Stay with him, man.
Crawl down. I tried to get to a phone.
McCarthy. Oh. Mac.
Ben. Polo. Over there.
Okay.
Dead.
Yeah, now take it easy. Yeah. Ambulance is on the way.
Just walked in. Some guy with a shotgun. My face.
Take it easy. Did you know him?
Lights were out. No. Ben.
Yeah?
Wait.
While we're talking about your United States Army's need for the best young people, let's take a minute to look at the vital job women are doing in today's growing Army, too. The Women's Army Corps, a great corps with a tradition its women are proud of, is today serving alongside the men of the Army. Women of that corps, working on equal terms with men, are doing interesting jobs. Jobs of vital importance in the support of your Army's combat soldiers. Jobs in challenging fields. They're working in technical fields, secretarial posts, in supply, and in hundreds of the most interesting locations in the world. How about you, young women between 18 and 34? Can you qualify for the Women's Army Corps? If you can, there's a great opportunity for you in today's growing U.S. Army, an Army with a challenging job to do. Stop in at your nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station and find out about your place in the Women's Army Corps.
Go get Haddock, Mac. Bring up my office. I'll be over as soon as I see the chief.
Right.
Oh, Charlie.
Hello, Ben.
We were the first ones over there, Charlie. A couple of blocks away when we got the call. Waldron may pull through.
What have you got?
Nothing more than you have. Waldron didn't see the guy, neither did McCarthy. Came home with Polo. Polo opened the door, and when they stepped in, blam, both barrels. Killed Polo instantly. McCarthy got it in the face, Waldron in the chest. Waldron crawled to the first floor. Killer got out the window. Well, with Polo dead, we'll never be able to hold Haddock.
Or get anything on Stefano. Stefano will spring Haddock as soon as the news breaks about our witness. He'll probably make him stay in a couple of days just to make it look good.
Yeah. I'm going to release Haddock.
Right away?
Yeah. What would you do if you were Haddock? You didn't know the witness against you had been killed. What would you do if you were suddenly released?
I'd think one Lieutenant Guthrie was a little crazy.
Where would you go?
Not to Stefano. I'd figure maybe you wanted to tail me.
What if you were Haddock, and I told you Stefano was going to kill you because you were the only man who could send him to prison?
Oh, now, wait a minute.
The witness is dead. A good cop is dead. Haddock isn't going to crack. You know
that. He'll never fall for it, Ben.
Wouldn't you? If when you get out on the street, somebody picked you up and took you for a ride?
What are you talking about?
Nobody's going to get hurt.
Are you crazy?
Well, he might talk.
And you're a police officer.
Then you tell me how to get Stefano.
Well, that isn't the way.
One way or another, you're going to have to release Haddock. You know he killed Krug, but you have to release him, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You think I like it that way?
No. When Haddock finds out that the only witness against him is lying down in the morgue, he'll never talk.
Then we'll get Stefano another way.
Have you got the man who killed Polo and McCarthy?
No.
Have you got one little lead?
No, but you're a police officer, Ben.
Charlie, we got to work fast. Stefano's got an organization of killers.
But a stunt like this...
Well, it might work. We've got to stop Stefano.
Okay. Go on. Get out of here.
I'll need three-way communication. Two command cars. Can you get me a waiver from the inspector for two command cars?
All right. Take it easy on the equipment.
Thanks, Charlie.
Georgia, don't you guys ever get tired?
Take him downstairs and turn him loose, Matt.
What?
Turn him loose?
That's right, Matt. Turn him loose.
Right. Well, let's go, Haddock.
I've been sprung?
I'm springing you.
You? What is this?
You heard the lieutenant. Now, let's go.
Now, wait a minute. I don't get it.
You don't have to. You can take a walk. I'm not holding you.
Oh, come on. Somebody got a writ or something?
No writ, no something. I want you out on the street, Haddock.
Okay, but I don't get it.
You will.
Let's go.
Now, wait a minute. What is it, Guthrie? How come?
The word's out, Haddock. Stefano's afraid you'll talk.
You're crazy.
Look, you tell us about Stefano. We'll see you get protection.
Oh, that's it. Well, you don't squeeze me, Guthrie. You don't squeeze me a bit. Pretty weak try.
Take him down and check him out, Matt.
Sure, take me down and check me out. You don't fool me a bit, Guthrie.
Come on, Punk.
Pretty bad, Guthrie.
Move it.
You don't think I...
Move!
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Asher, get Quine and meet me in the garage right away. All right, now here it is. In 5 minutes, Haddock will walk out on the street. He's never seen you before, has he, Asher?
No.
Okay, I want you to follow him. Let him know you're following him.
Okay.
Quine?
Yeah?
You're in a command car. A prowl car each spot. Take the command car and follow about half a block away.
Right.
Matt and I'll be in the other car. We'll stay away out of sight. And you keep us notified on Haddock's movements.
Well, if you're being so careful, why let him spot me?
I hope he thinks you're one of Stefano's men. I want to scare him right out of his socks.
You just want me to keep tailing him, huh?
That's right. Until you've got him good and worried. Then pick him up, throw a gun on him. You're supposed to be one of Stefano's boys, you understand?
Oh.
Walk him to a quiet spot, scare him all the way. Make it look like you're going to kill him. The three of us will bust in at the right time.
Okay, Ben.
Now look, Haddock's pretty smart. He's not going to fall for anything unless it looks awful good.
Okay, we'll make it look good. We'll get rough.
All right, we'll put on a good fight, so take care of yourself.
Think it'll work?
I don't know. You got 3 minutes. Get going.
I'm at the signal at the corner of
first in Lincoln. Haddock's going north. I think he spotted Asher.
Turn here, man. We'll stay in the next block running parallel.
Left?
Yeah.
He turned up 84th, walking pretty fast. He spotted Asher all right.
Turn up 83rd.
Right.
He's stopping and looking at a window pen. 300 block. Asher stopped, too. Haddock can't miss it. He knows he's got a tail. Well, he's leaving the window. He's going to grab a cab.
Follow him. If Asher doesn't get a cab, we'll pick him up and follow you.
Right.
Want me to swing over on 84th?
No, hold it. Stop here.
He got his cab, heading north on 84th. It's okay. Asher got another cab. Cab stopping. Haddock's getting out. Asher's out, too. Haddock's going into the Carlton Towers, 85th and Carlton. Asher followed him in.
Park someplace. We'll pick you up.
Right.
Let's go over, man.
Carlton Towers. That's where Haddock lives. It's 11:30.
Maybe Haddock isn't going to come out. Maybe he's just going to lock himself in and have
his There he is.
There's Asher. Oh, look at that pickup. Look at Haddock.
Yeah, he nearly fainted.
All right, let's go. We'll stay on this side of the street. Keep back far enough.
Haddock isn't going to spot us, Ben. He isn't looking around for anything. He thinks he's taking his last walk.
Yeah, up Carlton, right for the river.
Funny if a patrolman spotted it. Asked them what they were doing.
Hilarious.
The crowd thinning out. Take the other side of the street, Quine.
Okay.
You better drop back, man.
Sure, sure.
Stefano said Barney got the witness. What do you want me for?
Move.
Look, I didn't tell him anything. I'm not going to open my mouth. You think I'm crazy?
I told you, move.
No, wait a minute. Will you please?
Turn and face the water.
No, please don't.
Drop the gun.
No. Come here, get him, hurry up.
Where are you? Come on.
Grab him, will you?
Get him. Come on. Tell you, dirty no good.
Scuttle, he was going to kill me.
Yeah, I know. Stand back. We tailed you, Haddock.
That rat, Stefano, that dirty, stinking rat.
Want to tell us about it?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want to know?
Who do you think you're kidding, copper? You can't haul me in like this.
Oh, you're wrong, Stefano. You're going to be in for a long time.
I'll be out of here in an hour.
I hate to tell you, but your boy Haddock spilled his guts all over the precinct.
I don't know no Haddock. He ain't no boy of mine.
Signed a sworn statement, but you're going to get life for sure.
You're nuts.
Maybe you'd like to see him.
Sure, I'll see him.
Ben, we got Stefano.
Oh, bring him in.
Go ahead.
How do you like it, Stefano?
Shut up, Haddock.
I've done all my talking. Sure, I'll shut up, but they're going to put you away for a long time, Stefano.
Why, you dirty
try to get me knocked off, huh? Some send two-bit hood to...
What are you talking about? I didn't send nobody.
You're a filthy liar. Now you're going to get yours.
Shut up.
How do you like it, huh? How do you like it?
Ben?
Oh, come on in, Asher.
Hey, him.
Hello, Haddock.
Hey, what is this?
You two haven't met, have you? Dennis Haddock, Sergeant Asher.
Sergeant? But he's the guy... Stefano, I thought he was one of your boys.
You stupid idiot. You've been had.
I've been framed. This is a dirty, no good thing.
Why, you stupid...
Get away! Get him away from me!
Break it up there now. Break it up.
Stupid. Get him...
All right, get over there, Haddock, and shut up.
Keep him off of me.
I'll fix that stupid little...
Shut up, Stefano.
Don't yell at me, Griff.
Shut up and sit down.
You don't tell me to do nothing, copper. You don't shove me around and tell me to do nothing.
That's for two good cops, Stefano.
A few minutes ago, we quoted a famous fighting man on the subject of the Army's need for men of high mental qualifications to absorb technical training. Here's something else the general said in that same interview. That is only a part of our need. There is another need in the Army, and one that is not generally understood, for men of high intelligence and ability to lead our combat units. Combat leaders are specialists, too, and require specialized training, just as do the technicians. That's worth thinking about for a moment. Old soldiers will tell you that it's good training plus the best leadership that pays off, that brings a man through the tough places and keeps him effective. Not every young American between the ages of 18 and 34 can qualify for the kind of specialized training the Army requires. But how about you? Can you qualify? Visit your nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station tomorrow and take a look at your opportunities in your growing United States Army. The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, is written by Blake Edwards, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Ed Begley, Jay Novello, Lou Krugman, Bill Conrad, Sam Edwards, Stacy Harris, Gene Bates, Jeffrey Silvers, and Hi Averback. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Dan Cubberly speaking. This is CBS, the Star's Address, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for Case Closed this week. If you want to find more from Unit 99, The Lineup, past episodes of this show, or all the other podcasts, just visit RelicRadio.com. I'm in the process of getting a Legacy of Laughs back up and running. If you're interested in some comedy right now, you can find those episodes on the website. Our Shoutcast stream is there as well, and our donate button if you'd like to help support it all. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.